Sunday music or Sunday morning, at least before anyone on Sunday morning. And that's what you can do if you're in Santa Cruz, 106.3 FM. What's the matter with you? You're coming here for a cigarette sprint from the Bethesda Lots of Us. Stay with us. Sensibility skills. This is Bathrobe's peer Robert Morris. I'm here with you for the next 2.5 hours on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. Call in if you wish. Phone number is 427-3772 or FRSC if the numbers get you down. 427-FRSC. And we'll talk on the air. I was really encouraged yesterday at the scan weekend forum they were holding on a brighter future or whatever the cliche phrase the moment was out at Cabrillo College, to have a couple of folks come up to me and tell me they've been listening to the radio show, and they didn't know me, but they recognized my voice. And these are people who've never called in. So if you are listening out there and you think that this show is something you want to hear continue, you should definitely get in touch, not just simply because it's good for you to become a part of this dialogue because you're an intelligent part of the community, and probably too timid. You know, a lot of people are afraid to go on the radio because they think that, you know, they might stumble or slur or lisp or whatever, you know. But I mean, yeah, you hear me going every second line, and what difference does that make? It's the information that I'm putting out that's important. It's what you have to say that we haven't been able to hear that's important for us to hear. And again, a reminder, Free Radio Santa Cruz will be going off the air, period, on August 1st, unless we can find a place to house the radio station. The current location, and this is not for political reasons, it's just because of your standard landlord situation. The landlord intends to use the property for other purposes, is evicting the station, and we need a place to go. And if you want to hear the radio station going, really it's important to try to put some energy into keeping your ears and eyes open to see if such a thing exists, maybe making a few inquiries if you know people who are renting property and are sympathetic to Free Radio. I remind any landlords that no landlord in California has ever been hassled by the FCC other than they've been spoken to, but there's never been any legal action taken. And the landlord who on whose property Free Radio currently sits has never been approached by the FCC in the year and a half, 2 years that the Free Radio has been here, even though recalcitrant members of the station who have left and have grudges against Free Radio Santa Cruz and actually informed them the radio station to the FCC, and the FCC came out to the property and wanted to look around, and we said no, and they went away, and that was that. So it is still possible to assert your rights in 1999 in California, in Santa Cruz, in the United States, and it's important that you do so, or your rights, as they say, ignore your rights and they will go away. So do think about this. Free Radio's voicemail is 427-4523, Snowmill P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061. Email frsc@cruzeo.com. And the calling number for this on-air live studio show is 427-3772. And I'm your host, Bathurst P.R. Robert Norris. We're going to be pursuing our usual subjects today: rights of poor people, problems of police misconduct. We're going to actually have an in-studio guest from the SCAN conclave yesterday. Her name is Allison. She's a wonderful Scots accent. She and her partner and her baby are going to be visiting us soon and be on the air. We're also hoping that we can get Linda LeMaster, who's the co-founder of Housing Now in Santa Cruz, a worker with Women's Economic Agenda Project, to call in. She went up to a board meeting up there in Oakland yesterday, and they're kind of looking over the welfare situation for folks concerned about the continued shredding of the safety net. I'm hoping my producer will give a call to Reverend Phillips, who has been particularly interested in hate crimes, both against homeless and gay people, and who's, of course, associated with a church that is the feature story of the Metro Santa Cruz. If we can get him to call in or come in. A prime topic we're going to be discussing as well is the Lisa Rose affair. Lisa Rose was the chair of the Citizens Police Review Board, the group entrusted with oversight of our Santa Cruz Police Department, which of course has been the blindest oversight group I've seen in some time, certainly locally, although of course there's not much of a contest considering there isn't much oversight of any police agencies anywhere in the country, but certainly not in Santa Cruz, where we expended a lot of energy as activists to try to get a board together in the early 90s. The board got together, but thanks to the masterful sabotage of Scott Kennedy and others on the city council, the board was divested of any meaningful powers in terms of independent investigation, in terms of mandated public hearings. And in not having that, it has to specifically request that power in each case. And that's what we're asking the board to do tomorrow in the case of incidents around the May 22nd police-provoked violence and police violence at the McPherson Stop the Bombing demonstration, where protesters were noisily but peacefully protesting the Democratic Party's business as usual while the bombs fall banquet in the McPherson Center. And that's at 5:30 at City Hall. But for those who are interested, at 4:30, an hour before, the Santa Cruz Five Defense Committee is going to be having a press conference. Press conference about the whole issue and about the kinds of national and international support that their committee has been receiving from really around the world. It's very impressive. An incredible list of numbers of people, numbers of organizations and groups calling in to support Steve Argue, Jim Costner, Nassim Zarifi, Kualin Liao, and Vincent Lombardo, who are all charged with misdemeanors or felonies for a noisy protest outside the McPherson Center, in which the police grabbed a woman with a boombox without explanation, took her in a custodial arrest, made no attempt to quiet down any of the noise of the protest, which would have been the reasonable thing to do if they were really concerned with unreasonable noise, as Councilmember Rotkin suggested yesterday at the SCAN weekend session. And then wanted to sort of spirit her away in a van, and a number of people surrounded the van and said, "We want to know what's going on." Now, all you technical legalists are going to say, "Oh, you don't stop the police from the performance of their duties." I guess my response would be, the police have to act reasonably, responsibly, and with sensitivity to the community and the responsibility of their duties, or it's the duty of the community to stop the police and say, "Hold it, what are you doing?" Because these are armed gunmen, powerfully funded by City Council. They get the largest chunk of the budget, it's 30%, and there's been no reduction this year. Thank you, our new City Council. And at the budget hearings, which, by the way, resume on Tuesday afternoon, for those of you who wish to get back to those budget hearings, I'll be talking about that later and hopefully get someone to call on that. We have a situation where the Citizens Police Review Board is going to be examining police conduct and misconduct in this situation, but only if they vote to do so on Monday at 5:30. At 5:30, the Citizens Police Review Board will take a second vote on the question of whether to have an early investigation on these cases. If it doesn't make that vote, instead the usual process, which of course is no process at all, and involves a secret behind doors looking over of police reports, and police reports will not issue for months and months because the case is tied up in courts and in a legal battle. So that's going to be completely stymied unless there is an early independent investigation by an appointed investigator and then public hearings that stem from that as to the issues that have arisen. And I heard a lot of talk yesterday at the SCAN forum about the need for public process and how to involve more people and why aren't there more people here. And indeed, they had a dismal turnout. I think 50 to 70 people were there, including all the old political hacks all sitting around, you know, trying to do their usual empire building with the folks there, showing their faces and making their expert comments and cutting off debate by those who weren't in the inner circle. They were there. But the main reason that a lot of people weren't there was because there's this complete breakdown in the public process. And there's a failure of the new City Council, which has promised public process, to come through and make good on its supposed promises at election time, where they got a 64% majority of the vote, because there was a citizen uprising against the Rotkin, Kennedy, Matthews faction. Unfortunately, now it's the Rotkin Byers faction, and it looks like half the time includes Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, too, although Crone and Sugar are much better than the rest of the council on this issue, on the issues of police misconduct and issues of basic homeless rights, like the right to sleep. So it's really important for those of us to look these issues straight on, and I don't know if we want to spend a lot of time babbling around with the council or not about this. That wiser heads than mine said, "What are you wasting your time in there for? You should be organizing people in the communities, on the streets, in the neighborhoods," and that's probably true. And probably a lot of what I do is because of inertia, and because I know the address of the City Council, and I don't know the address of the different neighborhood associations, or I find that a somewhat difficult new forms are always a little touchier, you know. But it's all very well and important to do. In any case, there is that hearing coming up tomorrow, Monday, at City Hall. I come to the press conference at 4:30, then to the the CPRB meeting at 5:30 to see if Lisa Rose will change her vote. She is the key vote. Before, it kind of, there was a sort of a stalemate, 3-3, between the three new board members appointed by the three new city council members, board members Brown, Leff, and Blythe, and on the other side, the old guard police department is always right group, Lisa Rose, former chair, Morse, and Guerrero, who voted against an independent investigation. Lisa Rose is Mayor Byers' appointee. Each city council member appoints one of the board members. There's a seventh seat vacant because Cynthia Matthews went into a snit when the city council refused to reappoint Bill Christie to the board. Bill Christie is the amiable but completely unsuitable individual who had headed the board before Chair Lisa Rose and our new chair, Arnie Leff. And he was chair when the John Dine case was whitewashed and hung out to dry in January of 1998. John Dine was shot by police twice in November of 97. In spite of strong demands for an independent investigation, Lisa Rose, Bill Christie, Guerrero's, and Morris all voted against it, I believe. And it was just a sad example of how even in the most serious cases, this board is nothing more than a fig leaf to cover up the police department's, or just to say to rubber stamp what the police department's viewpoint is. And I suspect in this instance to cover up police misconduct, but we don't have any clear notion of this without a real independent investigation, which we never got. And it's interesting, various city council members have in fact been calling for an independent investigation privately, even publicly. Mike Rotkin said to me yesterday at the city, SCAN meeting, he was there getting a lot of flack from people, and as he should, the idea that he is on a board and appointed by SCAN, which supposedly is now representing all the principles that he has deserted, and yet invites him to come and, you know, speak in a sort of a position of authority, shows you what this where SCAN really is right now, which is catering to establishment politicians, is what they're doing, in the hopes that they can tease something out of them. It's kind of a pathetic spectacle, and one which actually excites a lot of anger in the case of the Beach Flat situation, which we can have talked about and will talk about again. Looks like an incoming call to interrupt my tirade. Let's see what it's all about.
Santa Cruz.
Whoa. Well, hey, it'd be nice to hear your tirade. Your mic is way low, and I could barely hear you.
Well,
so.
This is shocking. I appreciate your calling in there.
Gotta watch that needle.
Hey, I thought I was, but I'll try harder.
Bye.
Thanks.
Well, here I was trying to avoid over-modulating, and apparently I wasn't modulating at all. I want to thank the caller, who's a well-known troublemaker, for calling in. And if he finds I'm still too low, and my producer perhaps might also tap me on the shoulder, if you don't mind. Let me know, because I certainly don't want to be heard out there. That's the point of this exercise. And on the other hand, I don't want to blast above the appropriate levels. It's always a difficult situation. So, for those of you who didn't hear some of the vital things I was saying, please give a call to 423-HUFF, and we can fill you in later if you need to catch details. Hopefully in a better level now, and we'll see if that's the case. Let's get level with another voice for a while. Mine's getting a little tiresome to me, so maybe I can join in hearing somebody else.
Better than a mother is a sister. Better than a brother. One's gone cave, one's gone Lex. Does that make one sex better than the other? Ajax shoulders, moon boulders, Helen's hips, launch ships. Opposites favor, their opposites nature. Adam and Eve, fish and chips. The world needs us, so the world needs us. From an elephant to the little reason smoking. Every creature From Adelaide to the Mooses has its uses. A dog don't sing, a bird don't bark. So which is the best thing, a poodle or a lark? It's ridiculous comparing one who's prickless to one who's hairy. Is black better than white? Day better than night? Without either, they'd be neither. Some women try to be shooting, then say that humans are worse than demons. Nature gives us equal chances, and again, you shouldn't have to wear pencils. We're not like moles, those are rabbits. We should control our social habits, and things that turn us against each other, and don't learn us to be sister and brother. If her and him are indispensable, treating them similar is only sensible. Reason gives us the logical sequel. We're different, therefore equal.
Okay, we're in front of New Leaf about 4:05 on February 4th, talking to
Joanna.
And Joanna, you say you had an unusual encounter with the mental health system.
I did, and it's been ongoing.
Tell me about that.
I had a break into my trailer, I lost all my precious possessions. I'm a native of Santa Cruz.
How did this happen? How did it come about?
I gave a key to somebody to my trailer to use my telephone in exchange for using their shower, and they abused that privilege, or somebody else did.
How did the mental health system get involved in this?
Well, I was out without my SSI check for a couple months, and I was suffering from what is called manic depression, and I went into a period of dehydration and malnourishment, and mania sort of clicked in, and I asked for police help, and they didn't investigate what was...
Police help with?
Pardon me?
Police help with... What kind of police help with respect to what?
To the break-in, to the notification of if I had probably been somebody in the community, it would have been notarized and investigated, but it was not. And I ended up in Dominican Hospital.
Psych ward?
Yeah. I ended up in the psych ward. I was shackled. I was shackled in the hospital, and I was I was a passive person, and then I was taken to the unit, and I was put into a room. I was dehydrated and malnourished. I was passive. They said lies, and I was in there for a couple of weeks, and then the break-ins further happened, and I landed in there again, not getting any protection.
How long ago was all this?
This was started Thanksgiving time. I was on the unit, and then again at Christmas time, and then I ended up in Harbor Hills, and now I'm in a shelter, and I'm without a home.
What's your name?
My name is Joanne.
Joanne, I think actually I was one of the people that was contacted. I tried to reach you once. PIRC, Patients Inmates Rights Collective,
Jane Kiver,
tried to get me in touch with you. Did you win your habeas corpus hearing? What happened? Okay, it's about 5 o'clock, a little bit before. We're in the store Diamond King, not a jewelry store, but actually a trading card a collectible card store. We're talking to the owner who is spending his last day here. Would you sign in, please?
This is Evan Thompson, owner and actually former owner.
We don't really want him, but he's not a bad guy, but not really too relevant for our purposes. You were listening to Joanna, who is currently, I believe, still in Harbor Hills. And she has been reporting all kinds of miserable treatment out there. And there is this three-part series, appearing about Harbor Hills, in the Mid-County Post. I was alerted to the fact that a reporter, Jay Olson, was going to do a rather significant expose of Harbor Hills. That's the boarding care home, or the mental health system, as they call themselves. Dumps people out, and sort of at the end of a road, over Medicaid, often shocked with ECT, invasive and abusive brain damage type of electroshock, and then of course after having been fairly divested of most of their rights through conservatorships. We've actually talked in the past with patients' rights advocate George Covello, who gave us a good perspective on this, and Jane Kaiser of Patient and Human Rights Collective has been on the air, and I'll give her a call later to try to get an update from her. But if you're interested, I haven't read it yet, I understand the series in the Mid-County Post, which is a free bi-weekly you can pick up in bookstores and cafes around the area, is an interesting series on Harbor Hills. If you have been experiencing difficulties with the violations of your rights around the mental health machine, as I call it, the juggernaut that locks you up because you are a danger to yourself, others are gravely disabled, give a call to 423-HUF and let us know. I can't guarantee we're going to be giving a lot of help. We're overtaxed. HUF is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. We're particularly concerned with homeless people and various rulings, as in the case of Chris Brozda, who is now thankfully at liberty, but in the past has been held for months at a time by a combination of police, jail, and mental health system, with the claim that if you're homeless, that somehow is an indication that you're gravely disabled because you can't provide for yourself, which of course is utterly preposterous and a complete inversion of the situation, criminalizing the victim. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. The last song that you may remember hearing was the title song from the album Different, Therefore Equal, by Peggy Seeger. One of her fine albums. You probably know Peggy if you've listened to my show. She's Pete Seeger's half-sister and sings songs, as for my money, are twice as good as Pete's, and usually much more pertinent, less hackneyed, but you know, put Pete down too much. I'm glad for his stuff as well. Well, I have an interview coming up, which I think a lot of people will be interested in. It's an interview with Julianne. I'm not going to give her last name at this point, but Julianne is the woman who was the center of controversy in the May 22nd. Some say police riot, some say police overreaction. The series of incidents where five people still face charges, and hopefully we'll get it, the police officers as well, we'll get an independent investigation by the Citizens Police Review Board tomorrow in a 5:30 meeting and vote that will happen then. A press conference being held tomorrow at 4:30, as I've already mentioned. But Julianne was the woman with a child who Officer LeFevre put into a pain compliance hold and dragged away with the charge of not interfering with an officer, not surrounding a van, but I believe it was assault and battery, or a battery on a police officer, a more serious charge. He focused on her rather than the other men around the van in a somewhat inexplicable fashion, although she had a child on her shoulders. He and the officers involved refused to answer her questions. They wanted simply to know what the woman inside the van was accused of doing so that they themselves would not be held guilty of doing it. They were not answered by officers who instead were demanding that simply their authority be respected. In this case, the respect meant unless you do what we say, we will torture you, because pain compliance is a form of torture. We will put you in pain. We will then levy charges against you. We will drag you through the courts. In the case of Steve Argue, we were beat and pepper sprayed, though that, of course, came after Argue moved in to defend this woman, who, in his perception, and perhaps from out of any reasonable person, was being tortured by Officer Lefebvre and singled out by Officer Lefebvre. Officer Lefebvre, by the way, was mentioned in a letter that he wrote to the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And interestingly enough, the entire letter got printed. It was a letter demanding that Lisa Rose be fired by her appointer, Mayor Catherine Byers, because she's refusing to vote for an independent investigation of this whole case. Everything was reprinted verbatim that I wrote to the Sentinel, except the officer's name was removed. So we didn't, the person who didn't know the story didn't get to know that Officer David Lefebvre, that's L-A-F-A-V-E-R, was the individual accused of these abuses. Why the Sentinel should be so protective of police officers, I leave for you to figure out. But they certainly don't protect the rights of defendants when they're accused of these kinds of things. We have an incoming call here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert. I was just listening to your show.
Uh-huh.
Sounds much more audible now.
Excellent.
But I thought I'd clue you in as to a little thing that actually a couple, what Officer Lefebvre has been up to.
Please.
Lately. I happen to notice him over by the brand new Gateway where PetSmart, that new strip mall.
Oh, the, yeah, the Gateway Project.
Yeah, where it used to be a really nice, peaceful place.
The box stores, yeah.
Well, he was over there, I guess he arrested some older homeless man for some failure to appear for some stupid thing, probably a camping ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed he was going through all his stuff, and I stopped over and I started watching, and which I want to, you know, inform everybody that they have the right to stop and watch the police,
mm-hmm.
and, like people are trying to do on that protest and trying to find out why people are being arrested. Mm-hmm. And I actually asked him, Officer Lefebvre, why he was being arrested, and then he said, well, I can't tell you that, but this gentleman might be able to tell you. And he was very nice to me, very cordial, and the guy told me he was arrested for a failure to appear, and he's part of the neighborhood enforcement team, the NET team. So he was on foot just walking around a levee looking for people.
Let me ask you, let me interrupt you a minute, Bob.
Uh-huh.
This was Officer Lefebvre alone with the one person he was arresting?
Yes.
So Lefebvre was polite and suggested the man himself could tell him if he wanted.
Tell me.
Tell you if he wanted.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put him in a patrol. Actually, Officer Headley came then and picked up his suspect. I didn't even see a car. I mean, I didn't see Lefebvre with a police car anywhere. And as far as I know, he was just walking on foot looking for people on the levee. So, you know, that's what the neighborhood enforcement team does. The whole neighborhood enforcement team were the people that were there at that, the 22nd. Sergeant McMahon, who's the sergeant who I'm sure told Lefebvre what to do, she's part of the neighborhood enforcement team. They usually deal with these drug issues, like busting small nickel and dime drug dealers on the levee using stuff like, you know, on the levee after dark in order to search people and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Or lying about it. I ran into some young people on the mall who told me that at broad daylight, they said officers had stopped them, told them they were illegally on the levee,
mm-hmm.
and then demanded that they allow themselves to be searched, then told them each individually that the other had said that they were dealing marijuana.
Oh, really?
So it's this sort of lie to one person to get the other person to confess to a crime, and then...
Well, they don't even have to lie sometimes. It's all on the wording, you know. They start going into someone's backpack. You don't mind if I search this, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And most people at that point, they won't say no. Mm-hmm. You know, they just assume that he has the right to do it.
But for all you audience people listening, I'm sure you know that the magic words are, no, I do not consent to a search. No,
yeah.
I do not consent to an interrogation. Yes, I would like to speak to an attorney. May I go? Am I under arrest?
Yeah, even...
Really quite simple.
Like, even simple, even if you don't have anything on you, still, you should use your right to say no. I mean, why would you, you know, you wouldn't let any stranger go into your stuff, so why would you let this person with a gun go into your stuff, you know? You have the right.
It's also true, you may remember from past shows, Bob, that they can find things that you don't think are criminal, but they can claim are criminal, such as if in your car,
mm-hmm.
if they find, you know, a stick,
mm-hmm.
they can call it a club.
Right.
And then it becomes a weapon in your vehicle, and you are then, you may have to go through a whole six-month-long process of court appearances, spend hundreds or thousands of dollars for an attorney, as one man did. We had him in the studio talking about it. The best thing to do is to not consent to any searches. Thank the officer for his vigilant activity and ask him if you can be on your way. And, you know, there is a sort of a middle ground where they can detain you without arresting you.
Right.
If they do that, the appropriate thing to say is, what crime are you investigating?
Exactly.
And then you say, why do you think I might be involved in this? If they refuse to answer these questions, repeat them courteously and loudly and audibly so anyone else around can hear that you're asking them. And then indicate that you wish to be on your way. And unless you're under arrest, you'd like to go.
Uh-huh.
It's prudent to give the officer an opportunity to respond to this, because theoretically and indeed in practice, what officers can do is if you walk away from a detention, they can charge you with the crime of obstructing an officer or some such thing, which you're not doing. You're simply asserting a basic constitutional right, but they can do that. The other thing is, most people assume that police can pat you down as a matter of course. It is not true. Even if there is, if you have not been arrested, and if you're being detained, he cannot pat you down unless he sees specific articulable facts that indicate you might be carrying a concealed weapon. Now, in fact, this might be a bulge in your pocket or something, but it has to be reasonable. If you're carrying, if you have a swimming suit and a backpack, he can't search your backpack with the idea that you might have a weapon there.
Right.
Or if you have, fairly tight clothing, he can't pat you down for that. Even loose clothing without a bulge, he does not have a right to check you for weapons unless he sees specific articulable facts that lead to a reasonable suspicion.
Well, another thing is, as I see police, even they showed it on, America's Scariest Cops or whatever.
Right.
And they had these two police officers pull over these two black men, and they thought they saw one shove something down his crotch or whatever. And so all they did was, did you put something in your crotch there? And he's all like, no, well, was it just a little weed? It's all right, it's just a little weed, no problem, we can just give you a ticket and you'll be on your way. And he's all like, oh, yeah, I guess so. And then he pulls it out, and then, bam, they have reasonable search to search the whole entire vehicle,
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand that the police, they try to play this nice cop thing with you all the time, and then a lot of people just give up their rights right then and there.
Yeah, the best thing to do, the attitude I use, others can use their own style, is to say to the officer, with a certain amount of courtesy but clarity, say, officer, this is nothing personal. I don't consent to a search. I don't consent to any of that. I appreciate you trying to do your job. I'd like to be on my way, and I also don't want to say anything more.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they'll usually ignore you and ask you another question, right?
Well, getting back to Officer LeFevre, a couple of other things that he did that day, I also understand that he stopped Steve Argue again. Didn't really stop him. Steve was going up some stairs somewhere, and they must have saw him and went all the way around to the top of the stairs, and as he was coming up, he's like, how you doing, Steve? Just like being a smart ass, not stopping him for anything, just like trying to be there to possibly provoke something. And then yesterday he said something to Vinny. Vinny was...
It should be pointed out to our audience that Steve Argue is currently charged with a felonious assault on David LeFevre.
On this officer.
For an incident that happened May 22nd that I was talking about earlier, where Argue, in the view of many, intervened to prevent LeFevre's torturing of the woman Julianne, who I'm about to play a tape of. Go ahead.
And then later on, I guess yesterday, V-Man, who was also arrested that day for obstructing, and LeFevre has a long history with V-Man arresting for various charges, but anyway, he said something on his PA system on his car, says, get that bike off the sidewalk, or something like that. And so then Vinny walked over there and started talking to him and asked him, why don't you just drop the charges on this, because you're wrong. And he says, I couldn't be wrong, but he basically said, have a nice day on the PA system. Basically just kind of overall harassment, is what I'm saying. But anyway, I got to get going.
You better get going.
And I'll talk to you later.
But I appreciate your monitoring the sound, and also, if you got more thoughts on anything that's said, please call in again.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was the ever informative Skipper Bob Well, the past has been involved both in federal bonds and in CopWatch, a group that's going in with the camcorder and notepad to try to keep tabs on police officers. It's really something we need now more than ever. I mean, it's been suggested racial profiling goes on in the United States. What we need is our police department to keep records of when they stop people in terms of their ethnicity, in terms of why they're stopping. And even if a ticket isn't issued, I think that's a good idea. Anytime a police officer has a compulsory contact with a citizen, where the citizen feels unable to leave, even if in fact they can, they just don't know it. We proposed this idea back during the sleeping van hearings, where Catherine Byers, that's sleeping van Byers now, but Catherine Mayor Byers' task force to examine the camping ordinance was considering whether police officers were running around harassing homeless people but not issuing them tickets in camping situations. You got to get out of town, get moving, pack up your stuff, get going, that sort of thing. But then they didn't issue them tickets, so there would be a paper trail to indicate that there was a lot of harassment on paper and on the books. And we suggested as one solution to that, that food officers be required to make a record of every time they make a stop. In that case, if a homeless person had a complaint that he or she was being harassed, they could go into that record and be documented, whereas now the police have no record and they say, we never talked to him. There's no indication of that. In fact, there actually is a computer record made when cops get out of their car. They're supposed to radio in when they get out, and that's part of our policy. We were informed by Deputy Chief Locke, who testified a lot at this task force series of hearings in January and February, that, well, they only do that policy 50% of the time. So apparently, some policies which involve documenting police behavior only happen 50% of the time. We found it's a very interesting stat when it was given out. It means, of course, that the department is out of control, and that citizens who can expect certain reasonable minimum standards in the police department aren't getting it under the reign of Chief Belcher, and of course his friends on the police review board, like Lisa Rose, Catherine Byers' appointee there. So that's a sad thing, and that's something we need to change so we can get real community control of the police department. The police department could be, you know, a valuable tool in helping people, presumably, if they were really responsive to the community. And in some cases, indeed, officers do help people. I file commendations when police officers have helped and gave away to be the assistants, and they're getting paid for it, and they should be doing that. I become so used to them harassing people downtown for a trivia, as I saw yesterday, for instance, where a man was trying to display his artwork. He was sitting down right near the New Leaf Market on that planter near the New Leaf Market, and he put a little paper sign up with a piece of scotch tape about, very small, like 6 inches by 6 inches, saying he had caricatures, and he was willing to do caricatures. And immediately, I think it was Officer Bryan, a female officer, came up and told him he couldn't do that, and he was going to be arrested or ticketed if he did. And it wasn't that she was impolite. It's that she used an opportunity to swoop in. Indeed, there were three or four officers yesterday observing a tabling effort in this Steve Argue matter, this case of also a tabling for the firing of Lisa Rose. They were encouraging people to come to the Citizens Police Review Board meeting at this table, and police officers, four of them, were hovering nearby. One wondered if there was, if our department isn't overstaffed, if our city doesn't have an overstaffed police department by a factor of two, if they can have people just sort of hanging around. They weren't on the beat, they weren't patrolling, they weren't walking up and down and making themselves available. They were just sort of all schmoozing together, keeping an eye on this table about 30 feet away. And in the course of this, they harassed this man for the caricature thing. Anyway, it drives me off and drives me into these little asides, which, in the course of which, I sort of lose my way. But luckily, when I lose my way, there's always a little music to bring me back on board. Check this out.
What's gotten into our men in blue that's making them overreact? Is there something about wearing that badge that they do that makes them just want to attack? Or could it be rookies who prove overzealous? Perhaps we should ask, why this rough stuff now, fellas? We're hopped up cops at the donut shops, drinking hot coffee and soda pops, watching for motorists running stops so we can go practice karate chops. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. Up against the car, did you hear what I said? Hands in the air or I'll smash your head. You better get on the ground or you'll wind up dead. You're gonna be sorry you ever spent. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. Donuts I've eaten, but your black butt is gonna get a beating. So go ahead, sue, if you think we're mistreating, and we'll take it up at the next Klan meeting. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD